topic we spoke about last week was the definition of nisuin, and what is how is it defined in the context of kedushin, and then afterwards nisuin. So we said that nisuin, according to Rav Soloveitchik, and we developed this, is possibly not a separate kinyan, but another possibility was that it really was a basically a clincher to the whole process of marriage, and it really was not a separate kinyan on its own. It wasn't even a gemar kinyan of kedushin, but rather removed the fence that prevents the chasson to be with the kala. Okay, so tonight I wanted to discuss, and if we finish this mahalak, then we'll begin the Rashi and the Tosis on the Mishnah, and that is the notion of chuppas nida, because that goes to the heart and core of really how we understand the definition of nisuin. There are a very series of kashas that I want to go through, and six kashas, that is, and we'll try to answer all those kashas with one mahalak. And hopefully the kashas will fall like a domino to try to answer this kasha. Okay. The Rambam writes in Pirik Yud, Halacha Aleph, and then in Halacha Beis, the Rambam defines chuppah as being yichud. And that is why we have the yichud room. In fact, the yichud room is a halacha that the Rambam defines, consummates the nisuin. Chuppah means yichud. Nisuin chuppah, which are synonymous, means yichud. You must be in the yichud room to define, to fulfill the din of nisuin. And the Rambam writes in Pirkei Halacha Beis that the yichud should be re'uya labia, that he has to be able to have relations with her. He doesn't have to have relations, but he needs to have the potential to have relations with her. And therefore, writes the Rambam, if the woman is in need at the time of the marriage, therefore the Rambam writes that that makes it a chuppas nida, and therefore a chuppas nida, the yichud is not ru'uya labia, and therefore is not a legitimate chuppah. That's the Rambam shita. Now, we don't possibly like this ladina. In the event that there is a wedding and the woman happens to be menstruating at that time as a nida, so we go through with the marriage, and obviously we don't try to publicize that she's in need at that time, would be very embarrassing. But what we do is we're not allowed to let her have yichud with the chassan. So what we'll do is we'll bring them in a room, but maybe we'll put young children in the room so they won't be by themselves. And as the Gemara writes in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Amud Aleph, the truth is one could ask the following question, and that is that how is a husband ever able to be alone with his wife who is menstruating? Because we know the din is, the Gemara writes in the end of Kedushin and Daf Pei, that there is a Isser Yichud Minat Torah for a man to be alone with a woman, that if he would live with her, there would be a Chiyuv Karis. If there would be a Chiyuv Karis, there would be an Isser Diraisa. So we know a man that would live with Anita would be a Chiyuv Karis. So there's an Isser Yichud Minat Torah. So the Gemara actually asks in Sanhedrin Daf Mem, how can a married man, they've been married many years, how can he, let's say, be alone with his wife if she is menstruating? Isn't that a problem of yichud with a woman that potentially, if one would live with her, would be high, you would be high of karis? So the Gemara writes, it should be a problem. So the Gemara digs up a pasuk and says it's permissible, based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim called Suga Bash Roshanim, which translated literally means a hedge of roses, that a husband, if he, God forbid, would see the dam, will obviously not come close with his wife, and he'll be able to miskaber on his Yetzirah, and therefore there is no Isser of Yichud, special Hetzer given, for a husband to be alone with his wife who is menstruating. But when do we invoke that Hetzer? That's only if the husband has been with his wife. But here we're talking a scenario where the wedding, on the wedding day, she is menstruating, she's a Nida, and therefore they have not been together. And therefore you cannot invoke the Hetzer of Suga Bashoshanim. And therefore, until she is able to go to mikvah, they cannot be alone together. So they'll have to, let's say, stay in separate hotel rooms, or they'll have to stay in someone's home. It's obviously a difficult situation, but it can be done, obviously, and it is done halakhically, but that's why we try to make sure that the wedding will be planned at a time when the woman will not be menstruating. But that is what the Rambam holds. Now the Rambam will say that if the woman is menstruating as a nida at the time of the wedding, then it shouldn't be a good nisuin. We happen to not paskin like the Rambam. But the rationale behind the Rambam's opinion is that the definition of Nisuin, as we mentioned last week, there are five different opinions, but the Rambam's definition is that chuppah is yichud, and the yichud must be ru'i labia. If a woman is in need, it's not considered to be ru'i labia, and therefore it's not going to be a legitimate chuppah. That's the Rambam's shita halakha l'maisa, according to the Rambam. We don't happen to pass like that. Okay, and the Rambam writes the following phrase, let's keep it in mind. The Rambam writes, I'm reading towards the end of the halakha base, aval im haisen nide, afal pishe nichnasu l'chuppah, even though you had chuppah, v'nisyachet ima, lo gomru hanisuin, v'harihi ka'arusa adayin. The Rambam writes that the nisuin have not been completed, and she's still like an arusa. So let's keep that formulation in mind. He says the nisuin has not been completed, and she's still an arusa. Arusa means a woman that just had erusin and kedushin. Erusin and kedushin are synonymous. That's what the Rambam writes. Okay. So the first kasha we have to ask is the following, and really the Meiri asks this kasha on the Rambam in Ksubis on that base. The Rambam writes a few halachas later in halacha vav, in the end of the halacha, in halacha vav, he writes, and what happens if you did have a chuppas nida and you said the sheva brachas? Writes the Rambam, you need to do chuppah again. However, he writes, you do not have to repeat the brachas. The Rambam says, v'im avar v'nasu birech eino chozer umavarech. And the question asks the Meiri, if you hold that chuppah's need is not a good chuppah, then you said seven brachas, levatala. So if you have to do the nisuin again, shouldn't there be a mandate that you have to say the new sheva brachas? That's a glaring kasha in the Rambam. Imamish seems to be contradicting himself from halacha beis to halacha vav. Yeah, go ahead.
Rambam doesn't hold that chuppah, what we call chuppah.
Right. That's not the Rambam's opinion.
But isn't there an opinion that that's the suin?
That's what we said last week, according to one opinion, right.
Okay, so he doesn't hold it. That he holds, in his ceremony,
right,
would there be a chuppah?
No. According to the Rambam, there was no need to have a chuppah.
After the Kedushin, he gives her the ring a year later.
Go right to the Yichud room. Absolutely.
That's
even nowadays, if they did it in one day, they put the ring on the finger, like you said, and go right to the Yichud room. They don't have to call up and say
so
a drug.
What so when he says now that if she's needed, they're going to do what again?
They have to do the Yichud again.
Oh, the Yichud. Yichud.
No, but the Yichud's got to be done again. The Rambam defines chuppah as always Yichud.
When is the Sheva Brachas done by Yichud?
So they say the Sheva Brachas, let's say, right before they go into the room. Right before they go into the room, because the Rambam defines chuppah as being Yichud. So right as they're going into the room, they say the Sheva Brachas. So as after going into the room, they say the Sheva Brachas. According to the Rambam, if it's a case of a chuppah is needed, it's not a legitimate what? It's not a legitimate chuppah. And therefore, you would think that you would have to repeat what? You would have to repeat the Sheva Brachas. Because you're not yotze anything, Pashtus.
No,
you weren't yotze anything. It's like I said a brach on a lulav, but it was a baseball bat. So when I have to take the lulav again, I have to say a new brach. I said a brach on a lulav because it was a baseball bat. Not a lulav. It's the same thing. If it's a chuppah needed, it's not a legitimate chuppah. According to Rambam, it must be a chuppah that is ru'uya labia. Yeah, so, okay, well, after, but I'm saying the simplest understanding, it seems like a contradiction in the Rambam. Why should the Sheva Brachas, why should you be yod to the Sheva Brachas at all? He says if you have to do the Yichud again, yes, but no need to say the Sheva Brachas. Why not? That's the first kasha. Number one kasha. Okay. Number two kasha. The Rambam writes in Perikov Beis in Hilchos Ishus, the Rambam writes that for purposes of Yerusha, we mentioned last week, and the Ran says right here on Daf Aleph and Aleph and Daf Yerith, the Ran argues on the Ram as to the definition of Nisuin. And the Ran writes, the definition of Nisuin is that when the husband, the Chosan, brings the Kala into his Rishus, into his apartment, or into his home, And there can be many, a multitude of people there. It's not a notion of yichud like the Rambam, but the Ram defines nisuin chuppah as being what? That he brings her into his rishus, and there could be a lot of people. It's not an issue of yichud. That's what the Ram writes. So the Rambam later on in Chaf Beis, Perek Chaf Beis, Halacha Aleph, and Hilchos Ishus writes, what's the halacha if the husband brings his kala into his rishus, and they have not had yet yichud, they have not been alone, and God forbid, the woman dies. So we know, based on the Gemara later on in Maseches Ksubis, that a husband inherits his wife only after Nisuin, not after Erusin. Only after Nisuin do we assume that a husband inherits his wife if, God forbid, she dies. And the Rambam here writes in Perek Chaf Beis Halacha Aleph that what is considered to be the definition for the husband to be able to inherit his wife if, God forbid, she dies, if he has brought her into her is rishus, into his domain. And therefore, if she is nifter, God forbid, he can inherit her. And the kash is very glaring. The Rambam earlier in Perek Yud defined what nisuin as being yichud. And here all of a sudden, the Rambam Perek Chaf Beis agrees with the Ran and says it means hachnasis l'rishus. Very difficult to steer in the Rambam. Yes, go ahead.
Are they just arguing over the vehicle? I thought that the concept was you are taking from your father's rishus into yours. It's just the vehicle from which you're doing.
Right. So there are five different. So there are five different day is what that vehicle is, and it's quoted in the Machaber Amah and Siman Nun Hey in Shulchan Aruch. So you either hold one or you hold the other. So the Rambam seems to go out of his way in Perek Yud. He says, got to be Yichud. So why all of a sudden, when it comes to Yerusha, Hachnas L'Rishus is enough? And that's the second Kasha. And second Kasha 2a. And 2b is, if you look in Hilchos Nedarim in the Rambam, in Perek Yud, we normally assume between the Erusin and the Suin, if a woman takes a vow, the Kala takes a vow, so the husband and the father, her father, share the rights to annul the woman's vows. It's called a forest nadar. But after the nisuin, the husband has exclusive rights to annul the vows of his wife. And both the Kesef Mishnah and the Rabbaz, on the side of the page in the Rambam in Perek Yud and Hilchos Nadarim, write that according to the Rambam, once the husband has brought his wife into his domain, even without Yichud, he has now gained exclusive rights to annul the vows of his wife. Again, you see the Rambam defining chuppah nisuin as being hachnasas l'rishus, like the Ran did, against the Rambam himself, who defined it as yichud and perek yud. So that's the second kasha with A, B under that kasha.
Now, what's the Rambam? If you reverse the situation, the husband dies.
Well, we paskin that a husband is Yorish's wife, but if there are no children, you check if there are children, legabi Yerusha. If there are no children, then you have to check if he has brother or father. But a husband is Yorish's wife.
But not Yerusha in reference to Hebrew and
what do you mean?
The wife has to then go marry the husband.
Yeah, you can do Yibum even after Kedushin. Let's say the husband dies even after Kedushin. There's a possibility of Yibum. Absolutely.
Even before
Nisuin, right. Absolutely. Let's say he dies and there are no children, so there's a possibility of Yibum in Chalitza. Absolutely. Has to be done. Until that time, she's not able to marry anyone else. Absolutely.
And everybody
needs to get absolutely. Kedushin alone enough will create a situation that there either must be done Yibum or Chalitza. Absolutely. That's Kedushin's
enough. Why should that be different? The point of all the
because Yibum is just the notion of continuing the upon the name
but
of the dead.
What's the underlying issue? Is the underlying issue that this woman is owned by the husband?
Well, I wouldn't say she's owned. We'll see, but there are financial, there is reciprocal obligations that the husband has towards his wife, and the wife has towards the husband. Like, for example, the husband must sustain his wife and give her mizonos. So in return, the Gemara writes a menzayinim base. The Kala, the wife, gives him her maisiyah dayim, the work that she does herself. That she does herself, she gives to the husband, and the husband has to sustain her. Another example is if, God forbid, she is kidnapped. So he is obligated to redeem her. In return for that, the property that she brings into the marriage, he's able to use the payrus, can eat the produce. Another example is if she dies, he has an obligation to bury her. In return for that, there's a dowry that she brings into the marriage for him.
Those
that I just mentioned, those three examples apply after Nisuin. The example you gave of Yibum is not a financial concern. That notion of Yibum is if someone is married and then they die, even, what is the definition of marriage here? Even Kiddushin, then there's the notion of Zika. Zika means the connection to the brother, to the dead husband's brother, either Yibum or Chalitza must be done. So that's a special din by God Kiddushin. But the question he asks is an excellent question. The financial concepts only become implemented and kick in at Nisuin. Absolutely. So, Well, okay, you're on the right track, so we'll see. But let's outline the kashas, okay? You're jumping the gun already, right? So we got two kashas, but two based on A and B. But you're going in the right direction. Okay, that's the second kasha. Third kasha is the following. Third kasha is that we all just celebrated Yom Kippur, and the first Mishnah, I say celebrate because it's a mitzvah of Simcha on Yom Kippur. Many people don't realize that. The Nesiv writes there's a mitzvah of eating the Sudum Afsekis is the mitzvah of Simcha on Yom Kippur. One of the best rye is if, God forbid, a relative dies before Yom Kippur and is buried, Yom Kippur is Mevatel Shiva. Why is Yom Kippur Mevatel Shiva? Because there's a notion of Simcha. Simcha is Mevatel Shiva. It's also a spiritual Simcha. We don't need to always eat and drink to have Simcha. You can have a spiritual Simcha when our Averas are forgiven by Hashem. So we celebrated Yom Kippur. What does the first Mishnah say in the Masechta? In the Masechta's Yuman Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that when the Kohen Gadol serves in the Kodesh Kadoshim, does the Avodas Yom Kippurim, he must be in a state always of being married. It says V'chippur Ba'ado Uva'ad Beiso Beiso Zu Ishto. And the Yerushalmi in the Masechta's Yuma explains that he must not only be Mekudeshes to a woman, he has to be in a state of Nisuin. So the degree that the Mishnah writes that the Kohen Gadol is already married, but we set up a second Kiddushin with a second wife, in the event that, God forbid, his first wife dies, the second Kiddushin will kick in immediately, and he will be married on Yom Kippur. So the Yushalmi says, what do you do about the Nisuin? Yushalmi says that you'll go ahead and do the Nisuin, and as Tosfos writes in Yuma Yudgimel and Beis, Yushami seems to say the Bedekin, that's the definition, one of the five sheets that we have, they'll do a Bedekin, and that will be good for the Kohen Gadol to serve, and he'll be in a state of being married, not just Mekudesh to someone, but even Nisuin. So the Beis Yaakov asks, the Nesivus, the great Gaon, the Nesivus, and the Sefer HaKesuvos asks, how is that possible to be, according to the Rambam, what's the definition of Nisuin? Not what, Bedekin, but Yichud. And the Yichud must be what? Ru'uya Leviyah. On Yom Kippur, one of the five Inuyim are Tashmish HaMitzah. One cannot have marital relations with one's wife on Yom Kippur. And if that's the case, this is not a Yichud that is Ru'uya Le'what? Ru'uya Leviyah. And therefore, how do we assume that this will be Nisuin on Yom Kippur? For the Kohen Gadol to do his Avodah. That's the third Kasha. That's the Beis Yaakov's Kasha. Okay. Fourth kasha is that there is a machlokus, Rav and Shmuel. And this the Haflo asks the kasha. There's a machlokus, Rav and Shmuel in Yevamos and Daf Zayin and Beis, whether yesh chupul lepsulos or ain chupul lepsulos. We paskin like Rav, yesh chupul lepsulos. What does that mean? That means if a Kohen marries a Grusha, Kohen's not allowed to marry a Grusha. Absolutely not allowed to marry a Grusha. It's an Isser Lav in the Torah. It's not an Isser Karis. An Isser Lav is lesser of an Isser, less of a severe Isser than in Chiyuv Karis. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana. It's an Isser Lav. But it's not a Chiyuv Karis. What happens if the Kohen goes ahead and is Makadosh a Grusha? We Paskin, by Chai V'Lavin, Kedushin are Tofsin. By a Chiyuv Karis, Kedushin are not Tofsin. Nida being an exception. The Gemara in Yevamos Mem Testament Alpha says clearly an exception that if a person is Makadosh Anita, the Kedushin takes effect. But by all other Chiyuv increases, the Kedushin does not take effect. But if it's a Chai V'Lavin, by a Kohen with a Grusha, the Kedushin are Tofsin. What happens if he goes ahead and has the chuppah now? Says Rav, it's chal. Yesh chuppah lipsulos. Means the chuppah is chal. The Rambam writes, she's not going to be able to eat truma, but what happens in the event if she dies? The husband is Yorisher. If she dies, he has to pay for the funeral arrangements. The chuppah is chal. That's the way the Rambam paskins. We paskin like Rav. So asks the Hafla, how could you paskin yesh chuppah lipsulos? The Rambam's definition of chuppah of nesuin is a yichud that is what? Ru'uya labir. This is not ru'uya labir. Kohen cannot live with a grusha. Kohen Gadol cannot live with an almana. Kohen can't marry a gioris. So how do we paskin yesh chuppah lipsulos? How can it be chal? It's not ru'uya labir. This is what the Hafla asks. The great Hafla. That's the fourth kasha. Fifth kasha we have. The Mishnah writes, later on in Maseches Ksuvos, if you take a look at the Mishnah on Mem Ches Amud Aleph, on the bottom of the Omid. What does the Mishnah say? Mishnah writes the following. It says, Li'olam hi b'rishusa av, achetekanis l'rishusa bal, l'nesuin. The kala, the woman, is always considered to be under the auspices of her father. If she's a nara, right, there are three ages of a woman in halacha, katana, under 12, from 12 to 12 and a half is a nara. Older than 12 and a half, you're a bulgaris. Oh. So if a woman is a nara, the olam Hebrew shusa'af, she's always under the auspices of her father. Ad shetekanes l'rishusa'bal. L'nesuin, until she goes under the husband's auspices, l'nesuin. Writes the Mishnah, how do we express that? Masara av l'shluchei abal. If the father gives her over to the agents of the husband, harehi b'rishus abal. She's under the auspices of the husband. So what is the Mishnah defined for us right here? Isn't the Mishnah defining for us what nesuin is? It is saying that the husband must bring the kala under his what? Domain. It's an explicit Mishnah. How do we say we have five opinions of what Nisuin is? Whether it's Bedekin, whether it's Yichud, whether it's bringing her in her domain, whether it's spreading a handkerchief over her head at the wedding, whether it's being under the chuppah and going ahead and what? Eating the meal and having the Sheva Brachos. How do you have five different opinions in Rishonim when it's an explicit Mishnah? If the Mishnah and Gemara tell you a definition, the Rishonim don't argue about it. The Rishonim argue about a concept, but it's not explicit in the Gemara. So the fifth kasha is, this is an explicit Mishnah of what Nisuin is. So what's the whole pilpul of what it is? The Machaber Allah quote five different opinions in Shulchan Aruch. It's clear what it is. It's an often a Mishnah. It's an explicit Mishnah. So that's the fifth kasha. Sixth kasha is the following. This is a Chumash kasha. But we have to understand it. Because we assume, the Gemara writes in Yuma, that all the Avos observed all the dinim of the Torah, both the Yerais and the Rabbanim, the Gemara says. Oh. So, if you take a look, let's turn back now to Zion Amud Beis. Let's take a look at Zion Amud Beis. Zion Amud Beis by the two dots, it's about seven lines down from the top. The Gemara says, Gufa. Amar of Nachman, Amar Lihuna Barnas and Tana, Minayim of Birkas Hassan and Basara, Shenemar Vayikach Asara Anoshim Mizikna Eir, Vayomer Shvu Po. How do we know that Sheva Brachas must be said with front of 10 people? How do we know that? Because it says Boaz took 10 people from the elders of the city when he was going to say Sheva Brachas. Okay. Take a look at the Tosfos, the small Tosfos, Shenamar. It's the last Tosfos in the short lines. Shenamar v'yikach Boaz asor anoshim u'meseches kala d'maisi krova yavarchus Rivka. What's Meseches Kala? We know there's 63 Mesechtas in Shas Mishnayis. There are some Mesechtas that are called Mesechtas Ketanas that are Brises. They're found in the back of Meseches Avodah Zarah, like Avastra of Nassim, Meseches Gerim, Meseches Sitzis, Meseches Kusim. They're called Meseches Derech Eretz Rabba, Derech Eretz Utah. They're Brises. They're not one of the 63 Mesechtas, but they're Brises. And in Meseches Kala, the Makor, the source for Sheva Brachas, is what? That it needs to have 10, is V'yavarchus Rivka. That they blessed Rivka. So Tosfos is bothered by, what's the mucker? We quote a pasuk in Rus, in Zion and Abaz, in the Gemara. The Gemara in Brisa Meseches Kala quotes a pasuk in where? V'yavarchus Rivka, which is Chayisar. So which is it? What do you see from Tosfos Kasha? Where was the context of Yavarchus Rivka? Right before Eliezer was going to take Rivka back to Yitzchak, Lavan said a bracha. But Yavarchus Rivka, he gathered everyone together, they said a bracha. Lavan said a bracha. Okay, we're making an assumption that Lavan was Shomer Kol HaTorah Kulah. I guess that's questionable, but let's assume that assumption, okay? So, they gathered everyone together, they said a bracha. What is the assumption of Tosfos? The assumption of Tosfos is that, what did they say, Lavan and his friends? They said Birkas Nisuin. That's the assumption of Tosfos in his kasha. How does Tosfos solve the kasha? He says, Ika lemeimer d'hasan Birkas Erisin, d'acha Birkas Nisuin. Okay. What's the place of Teretz? That the Bryce in the Seches Kala that says V'yavarchus Rivka was talking about Birkas Erisin. Right? We know this Birkas Erisin. What's Birkas Erisin in the Chuppah? There are two brachas, Brei Pirei Hagafen. Right, the Sana Kedushin says Brei Pirei Hagafen, and she hits the line of Sarusos. Then that's the Kedushin, the Hakasin puts the ring on the Kala's finger, and then we read the Ksuba, and then we say the Sheva Brachas for the Nisuin. So Tosfos says there's no Stira. Now Yavarchus Rivka was talking about what? Birkas Erisin. And the Poskin Rus is talking about what? Birkas Nisuin. Okay, that's fine. That's Tosfos Teres. But what did Tosfos hold in the Kasha? What did Tosfos hold in the Kasha? Tosfos held in the Kasha that the Yavarchus Rivka was a brach of Nisuin, right? That's what he was bothered by. Let me ask you the following Kasha. And this is a Kasha of the Gvuris Yitzchak, a very beautiful Sefer Chumash that merges Halakha with Chumash. The Gvuris Yitzchak asks in Parshas Chayisara, according to the Rambam that defines Chuppah Nisuin as being Yichud, 3 days later, when Eliezer takes Rivka to Yitzchak, Yitzchak brings her into his tent, his mother's tent. That's when the Nisuin took place, 3 days later. So aren't the brachas being said too prematurely? 3 days before. Tosfos and the Kasha held that it was a Birkas Nisuin. But the Birkas Nisuin can only be said right before they go into the Yichud room. You're saying it's too early. Can't say it so early. What do you want out? What's it going on? You don't say a Birkas Sheva Kol HaTorah on thunder when the thunder comes 3 days later.
Okay.
All right. Very good. That's going to be the answer already. You mean by giving the Shliach, you're putting in his auspices. Okay. But according to the Rambam, what do we say? We're going to have to answer. The Rambam said that it's Yichud, right? What did you do with the Mishnah? Oh, okay. Everyone's on the right track. Absolutely. But so these are the six kashas. Let's chazer them over quickly, and then we have to say the mahalach to try to answer the kashas. First kasha was what? The Miri's kasha in the Rambam, steering the round, that chuppah needed is not a good chuppah. The Rambam says, though, in Halakha Vav, that if you said the brachas, the Sheva brachas are what? Sheva brachas are good. You have to do the yichud again. You don't have to say the Sheva brachas again. Why not? If a chuppah's need is not a chuppah, the Sheva Brachas shouldn't count at all. That's number one kasha. Number two kasha, we said that the Rambam writes in Perek Beis and in Perek Yud and Hilchos Nedarim that the definition of what? Of Nisuin is considered to be what? Hachnasas L'Rishus. Both
regarding Yerusha and being have the exclusive rights to annulling vows. That's against the Rambam, very good, that says Yichud. Third kasha was the Mishnah Yuma, that the Kohen Gadol needs a Yichud that is Ruhi Labiyah. Kasha Shemit is not permissible on Yom Kippur. Fourth kasha was, why do we pass the Yishchupa with Sulus, Kohen, with the Grusha? Why is the Chupakal? It's not Ruhi Labiyah. Fifth kasha was, how do we have five different opinions in Rishonim what Nisun is when it's explicit Mishnah? And sixth is the Kasha and the Chumash. They have Baruch with Rivka. According to Tosfos Avamina on Zion of the base. So there is a beautiful, we're put together these six kashas. But there's a beautiful Shtikl Torah written by Rav Naftali Trump in his Sefer, the Chedushik or not. He was a great Rosh Yeshiva in Europe in by the Chofetz Chaim. And he asks two of these kashas, but his mahalik will answer all six of these kashas. What he wants to say is the following. He wants to claim that there are two dinim in chuppah, two dinim in nisuin. What are the two dinim? The two dinim in nisuin are, there are two parts to a marriage, halachically, when the nisuin is implemented. There is the financial responsibilities that a husband has towards his wife, and then there is the ishus responsibilities that a husband has towards his wife. The marital, the more private issues. And therefore, says Rav Naftali Trump the following, that one could perhaps postulate that the Rambam will say like this, that if you have a chuppah needed, granted it does not fulfill and accomplish the marital components between the chassan and kala, because it's not Ruhi Labiyah. But it will accomplish the financial responsibilities that a husband has towards his wife. And therefore, says from the Naftali Trump, that exactly is the formulation of the Rambam. Why does the Rambam say, as we said, we have to keep the formulation in our mind? The Rambam says, by Chuppas Nida, he writes, Lo Gomru HaNisuin, the Nisuin has not been completed, Vaharihika Rusa Adayin. The Nisuin has started. What does not completed mean? Not completed means something started. What has started? The financial responsibilities have started. But he says, Va'adayin Vaharika Arusa Adayin. She's still in Arusa regarding the marital component, the marital ingredients. But regarding the financial responsibilities, those have started. And therefore, explains Rav Naftali, if you have a chuppah needed, even according to the Rambam, if you said the Sheva Brachos, you don't have to repeat the Sheva Brachos. You have to do the Yichud again to accomplish the second level, the Ishus component. But regarding the Sheva Brachos, they already took effect on the what? The financial responsibilities that a husband has towards his wife. So that answers the first kasha. Based on this, it answers the second kasha. We said there was a steer in the Rambam. There's no steer anymore. The Rambam will say, bringing the woman into his domain will certainly what? Invoke the financial responsibilities. He will have the ability to be Yorisher. God forbid, if she dies, he'll inherit her. He now has gained exclusive rights. Now, I grant you that a Faris Nadarim might be an Isser type of note, category, but it's not considered to be part of the marital component. So we label a Faris Nadarim in the ledger on the financial responsibility area. So therefore, if he's brought her into his domain, he gains exclusive rights to annul her vows. He also will yorish her, God forbid, if she dies. Because the financial responsibilities can be accomplished by hachnosis l'rishus. However, the marital component will not be accomplished until you actually have yichud. That will answer the second kasha. How does this answer the third kasha? We said, how can we assume the Kohen Gadol can be in a state of the chippur ba'ado uva'ad beso? Beso zu what? Ishto? How do we assume beso zu ishto? During the avodas Yom Kippur, you cannot have Kasha Shemitah Yom Kippur. It's not a Yichud Ruhi Labiyah. We can answer that kasha like this. Who says that you need to have a Yichud and a Suin that will consummate both areas, the financial responsibilities and also the what? The issues component. maybe it's enough to say that the husband has been mishatein. He has nesuin with his kala, and he's obligated to financial responsibilities, which clinches the chiprovado beso zuishto legabe the dini mumbris. In reference to the financial areas, that's enough. Who says that you have to have the second level to be fulfilled, to say that he's in a state of nesuin, and therefore there's no problem. There is no problem to ask that kasher for the Mishnah not base, because basis of Easter can be fulfilled very, very easily. Okay. Also, based on this, we can answer the fourth kasher. How do we paskin yesh chupa lepsulos? Yesh chupa lepsulos, the Kohen marries the Grusha. The Kohen Gadol marries the Almana. It's not Ruhi Levia. According to the Rambam, how is the chupa chal? If she dies, how is he Yorusher? How is it chal? Granted, she cannot eat truva, but how is it chal regarding the other areas? The answer is it's not chal regarding the second level of the Ishus component, the marital component. But where does it take effect? Like, I mean, the financial realm. The Kohen is responsible to sustain his wife, even though she's a Grusha. The Kohen Gadol is obligated to sustain his wife, even though she's a widow. And therefore, the chuppah is chal, absolutely, regarding the dini mamers. That's what it means, yesh chuppah of tzuvos. Based on this, we can answer the fifth kasha too. The fifth kasha was, how could there be a Mishnah? Mishnah says explicitly what the suin is. And there are five different opinions in the Mechaber Rabbah of what it is. They're struggling to define what it is, to precisely define it. The answer is, the Mishnah and Memchesem Rav is just defining for us what the suin is to accomplish the Dine Mamunis that will obligate the husband in the financial responsibilities towards his wife. But regarding the marital notion, the marital components, that we don't know. The Shas never says it. The Mishnah Gemara never defines it. And therefore, there are five different opinions. What is it? Is it Bedekin? Is it the Yichud? Is it being under the canopy and going to eat and saying the brachas? What do you need to define that? That's the machlokes in the Mechaber and the Rambam. Oh. Now, how do we answer the sixth kasha? How do we answer the sixth kasha? So if you look at the Svornu on that Pusuk, Perichov Dalid Pusuk Samach Aleph, writes, unbelievable. I jumped out of my seat when I saw the Svornu. He says, Maser Ha'av, it's not the Av. He says, Lavan was in place of the Sewell, right? Maser Ha'av, or the brother, Leshluche Habal. He quotes the Mishnah Daf Memches. So when he gave her over, it was a nesuin. There was absolutely nesuin. And therefore the brachas were appropriate to say a birkas nesuin. But according to the Rambam, I thought the definition is yichud. That's to accomplish the marital components. But to accomplish the dini mamonis, the financial responsibilities, that can begin earlier. As long as she's been given over under his auspices. And that's exactly what happened. And therefore the brachas being said at that time, according to Tosos and the Kasher, with the Birkas Nesuin, they are absolutely appropriate. So now all the six Kashers fall based on this Mahalik of the Naftali Trump. That it's a din in what? That there are two dinim. There are two dinim. There's a din Mominus and there's a din Ishus. Okay. Now, it happens to be that to get a complete picture, there is a base mayor, one of the Gedolei Achronim, who says, Pum Fakir of Reb Naftali, Mamish. Completely the opposite. The base mayor writes, unbelievable. I don't know how it, but he says like this. He says that Chuppas needed is Kone, according to the Rambam, with reference to the marital components. But it is not Kone regarding the financial responsibilities. He says, Mamish, completely the opposite of Naftali. That when the Rama postulated Chuppas needed is not Kona, meaning he's not obligating the financial responsibilities. But Legabi Dini Ishus, it is Chal. That's what he wants to claim. Bichidish. Says completely the opposite. And then, there is a third Mahalik of the Korban Nisano, on the bottom of the page in the Rush, on Nafnurin. Because we concluded last week, the last thing we did before we mentioned the Chumash, the Dvar Torah from Chumash was that the Gemara of Vav Rav leaves it in the Bayad, the little Ifshito, is Chuppas need a kon or not? Is Chuppas need a kon or not? So the Rabbah will learn Chuppas needed and not Kona regarding, as we learned according to Naphtali, the marital components. The Beis Meir says, Pum Fakir, Chuppas needed not Kona regarding the financial components. Says the Korban Nisana, it's very, very difficult, yeah. You pastors would say like with Naphtali. Right? And the Korban Nisana says an unbelievable Kiddush like this too. He says a third Mahalak. He says when the Rambam writes that Chuppas needed is not Kona, that's where he did not know that she was a needed. It's like a Mekartos, he says. But if he would have known and he goes through with it, it's fine. That's a little kid in the Rambam. I've never said that. But that's what he wants to claim. What you see from the Korban Nisana clearly is, from last week, remember we said that there was a possibility against the law that maybe Chuppah is a completely separate kinyan. When you invoke Mekartos, that means you're saying that it's a completely separate kinyan. It's a classical type of kinyan, and if you don't know what's going on, that's a Mekartos. So you see, the Korban Nisana's understanding was that he clearly viewed it conceptually, the suin as a separate kinyan. And if you didn't know what was going on, you would not be calling. So these are three different mahalchim in the Rama. Yeah, go ahead.
According to the Tzohar, that there, you really say that taking away the service of the whole issue and the erva, the quality of the relationship. Once you do that, you don't even need, it's not establishing the erva. You don't even need two agents for that because it's not you're not really establishing any issue for erva here. You're only really establishing the financial relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In other words, if you, like we said last week, it could be you don't need 80 leukemia cells for the sewer. No, you mean in the case of Chuppas needed? In the case of Chuppas needed, we'll accomplish the Dini Mabinus. We'll not accomplish the Dini Nisuin. But even for the Nisuin, we said, even for the Isha's ingredient, it could be you don't need 80 leukemia cells. Could be for both components, you don't. You don't view it as a classical kidney. You view it as a source of the need. Yeah, go ahead.
Possibly defend that the second opinion.
Yeah, the base layer. Yeah, go ahead.
So the ikur of the isha has to come. I'm just saying that has to come first. It's following the relationship because you get married, you're not concerned about the financial. That comes secondary. The isha is the primary. You trying to mention that no matter what, if it's a.
Regardless of whether she's a needed, that doesn't
that
make a difference.
That has to come first. The financial. Later.
Interesting. Okay. And therefore, I'll say even in a state where she's in need, it'll be called.
It has to.
Okay.
Even if the finished responsibility is like held in escrow, it's secondary.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Maybe that's what he's holding. Could be.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Imamis is completely diametrically opposed. Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
What's the nafkamina
between a nafkamina? Nafkamina will be, you mean, Lagabi this dinner? Is he allowed to have yichud with her, let's say? You won't be able to have yichud with her.
Okay.
Well, you won't be able to have yichud until they have a yichud where it would really be.
I mean, she's now in the state.
She's now in a state that he's mechuyev to her financially, but he has no chiyuv ona because he's not mutter to her. He has no chiyuv ona. She can't claim he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah ona. There's no din ona. He's not mutter to her. The Isha's component hasn't been implemented yet.
Right, I was saying, at Kedushin,
she's already Kai, you already Kai Misa.
I understand, except for the type of Misa. Right?
You know what would be an interesting Shiloh? Let's say, Akiva's asking, what would be what's the punishment of a Nara Murasa? Nara Murasa's Kai Skiwa. Oh, that's you, I'm sorry. So, what would you say? So I would assume once she had the Nisuin, even though it was only the Dini Mamanis, you would no longer get Chedek. That's what I would think. Even though it's only financial. That's what I would say.
Regarding others, regarding themselves.
Absolutely. I would think, unless you want to entertain as far that since the Ishus hasn't been consummated, maybe she's still in Arusa Lagabi that. I mean, don't say Arusa diet. So I don't know. That's an interesting question.
Why do you have to tie the two things together? I understand what they regard to the Yerba Afrodami.
Yes.
But Now, with regard to all the other dinim, you don't have to say that she has to sit with the Yeshua. And by Hakorot Nazara, we say it's because it's a faith Yeshua. And by Yerusha, we say because it's Yisheira, Hakorot Nazara, because of Yisheira.
Right.
Which only means that she went out of the reserve of the
right, but the next stage that we assume, though, the Gemara calls that Nesulin, though. In the Mishnah, the Gemara defines that as Nesulin. You're right, each one has a good custom, but it places into the next stage in the marriage, which is titled Nesulin.
Right, but first of all, the Rambam says that
she's considered a Nesulin. Right, but he does say, and the Gemara, though, says that that's considered to be Nesulin. The Gemara there on Memchess calls that Nesulin. Those Mishnah and Gemara call those Nesulin. So that's the usually assume that arrives the penalty suit. Yeah, go ahead. Right. Right. Well, we said that was a machlokes. You're mekadesh amarash ain't shirk to swallow up. Machlokes are viewed in their mayor. Right. You can, but it will be b'isser, let's say. It will be b'isser. So that's the concept. In other words, it's chal. But the truth of the matter is, every time that you want to fulfill, you're over an isser. That might be a bezuzin or isser, might be an extraneous isser. But the truth is, it is chal. So in other words, you're absolutely right. Everything that might be an isser.
Is that
a mitzvah b'aver? It's not calling it a mitzvah b'aver, but there still is a halos. There is a kinyan, there's a transformation, and she's called into suin. Well, do you get a mitzvah? Maybe not, but there is an acquisition. Transaction has been implemented where you have that, and it's how?
Not exactly.
I'm sorry?
Not exactly.
Well, he won't have, he doesn't have, every suin has normally had to be it. This one doesn't. So that's what makes it different. But it will be how in the event that if she dies, it'll be Yorusha. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
How can the mayor say what he does when I said earlier that the monetary aspects of it are foul, we show all those things are foul by the producing part?
Yeah, so you know, no, we didn't say from the Q, we said from the Nesuin. Financial only is from the Nesuin.
No, the issue of, I thought it was the issue of, by the Kiddushin, you start, you haven't had the Nesuin yet.
Right.
You start with the Yerusha.
Yeah, that's only Nesuin, we said. All the finance, only Nesuin. Only Nesuin. Yibum is an issue of at the time of Kedushin. All financial matters begin in Nesuin. Question is, what point in Nesuin? So that's what we wanted to do. I want to make this two dinin, that it's either a din mominus or a din ishus. Yeah, that's just separate because she's a married woman, I'll peek in. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, that's the Mishnah. Mishnah says we're in the sewer. Right. So that will be called the sewer.
You don't have to say that is actually the act of the sewer.
Well, then, you know, we'll
try. Right.
Yeah, but it allows all these dinim to kick in.
Right.
You know, first the dark. Well, I mean, that's the I think the pashtus is you call them Nesuin. You call them Nesuin. That's the pashtus. Okay, now here you're saying is going to say it's based, each one's based on if there's a custom, but the pashtus shot is that it's based on that would be defined as Nesuin. That's what the Ron really says. And that's the definition of Nesuin. When he brings her into his apartment. Okay. Let's now, before we go to Dvar Torah and Chumash, let's just finish the Rashi on the Mishnah, and we'll begin the Tosfos. We'll begin the Tosfos, and we'll continue it next week, Bezer Shem. Okay? We didn't read the last Rashi on the Mishnah. Let's read the last Rashi on the Mishnah. The last Rashi on the Mishnah is the following. It says, B'sheni u'b'chamishi, based in meats, on Monday and Thursday, twice a week. Okay? Shapomi Mishabas Absulakoi, Hesheni Bechamishi, Echatz Miasar Takana Shatika Ezra Bibaba Kama, the Perik Merubin, Mefarish Lakulu, Lakak Tikta Shikinotzi Berevi, Why was it that the Basula, a woman that's never been married before, should get married on Wednesday? Shim Hayalo Thomas Basula, because if he claims when he married her, she was not a Basula, Yashkim Abasin, Baod Kasola, he'll be able to go to Basin while he's still upset. Yimesh Shahus Bain time, if there's too much distance of time, Yesh Lachus, we're afraid Shem Yispayes, this Kara Daito, he's going to cool down, be a Kamen, and he'll keep her. The Shema Yizin Satata, it could be that maybe she lived with another man between Erison and Nisuin, and what's the din if she lived with another man? He has to divorce her, and she loses her Ksuba. And for him to remain with her, he's over an Isser. He transgresses an Isser. What's the Isser? The natural law, the Afin Sota Dapokas, the minister of the He Nit Ma. Umitok Shiyavul Abazin, Yispair Adover, Shiyatakol. By the fact that he goes to Bazin, the matter will be clarified, that a rumor will be invoked. Shemi Yavo, Adim, so maybe Adim will come. Ruba Gamara Parak, Betinafne, Bechlashavs. That's why Sunday not good. Monday they need also. So how does Rashi define the Takana, the Mishnah, that a Basula gets married on Wednesday? If in the event he thinks that she was a Ba'ula, she lived with another man, he'll be able to go to Bezit and complain, a rumor will go out, Adim will come and say it is true, she was Mizana, she lived with another man. That's how Rashi defines the Mishnah. Okay. Tosfos in Dibra Maskul She'in is bothered by the following kasha. There is a Gemara. We take a quick look on Daf Tesim and Aleph. Let's take a look on Daf Tesim and Aleph, in the bottom of the oven. Actually, in Chesim and Bey is the last three words. Okay? The Gemara says, Abba Rabbi Lazar, Ba'oimir, Pesach Pasuk Masati Nemel Osra Allah. Rabbi Lazar was an Amora, and he said that if a man marries a woman, and he claims that she was not a Basula, he claims that she was lived with another man in the 12 months between Kedushin and the Suin, he is believed to make her usur on him. That's what the Gemara says. Okay. Asks the Gemara why, Ramai Sek Seku, Suffik Tachtav, Suffik Ein Tachtav, Nim Tim Saloma Tachtav, Suffik Bonus, Suffik Baratzel. Oh. This is the Makar and Shas of Sek Seku. A double doubt. Why is he believed to make her usher at him? There's a double doubt. What's the double doubt? When did she live with another man? It could have been before Averson. If it was before Averson, the husband can marry a woman that has lived with another man. A Kohen cannot live with a woman that has lived with a non-Jewish man. But let's say a Yisrael and Levi, they can marry a woman that lived with another man. So if she lived with the other man before the Erison, he's still with her to her. If she lived with the other man after Erison, then she's what? She's usher to it. So it's 50-50. But within the 50% that she lived with another man after Erison, maybe, God forbid, she was raped. And if she was raped, she still remains permissible to who? To her husband. If it was Yisrael and Levi, absolutely. So, as the Rashba writes in the Chuvis, what's the rationale of a Sveik Sveika? What's the rationale that a Sveik Sveika is mutter? 25% mutter, we always follow Rav. That's why the Rashba writes Sveik Sveika is mutter mitav Rav. The Gemara doesn't tell us anywhere in Chas why Sveik Sveika is mutter. That's the Rashba's theory in Siman Tuf Aleph in the Chuvis. So the Gemara asks, why is he believed to make her usher on him? It's a double doubt. So the Gemara says like this, Lo, Sricha, Vashis, Kohen, Vibayisena, Vashis, Yisroel, Ukagom, Dekibel, Bo, Avua, Kedushin, Pchusi, Bashal, Oshan, Vyomecha. Period. The Gemara gives two answers. One is, it's the wife of a Kohen. So if it's the wife of a Kohen, the second doubt of whether she lived with another man willingly or she was raped, it doesn't make a difference. Because even if she was raped, she's usher. So all is left is one doubt. One doubt, Suffolk Yiraisa, Lechumra. One Suffolk, Ramachmer. So we believe him, and she's usher on him. We're talking about a wife of a Kohen. Second answer is, we know that a father has the ability to take his young daughter, a katana, and marry her off to some man. What happens if he married her off when she was less than 3 1/2 days? Kedushin. For some reason, he marries her off less than 3 1/2 days. And then they wait many years, they wait many, many years, to have the nisuin with this man. Then they have the nisuin, and the man claims that she was with a different man. So Rashi explains, there's only one doubt here. Was she with the other man willingly, or was it against her will? That's only one doubt. The doubt about when she lived with another man has to be after the Erusin. Because again, what's the window of time? The father married off his daughter when she was 2 1/2. They had the nisuin when she was 12. It was a 10-year gap. So if she lived with another man, it had to have been after the Erusin. Why? Because there is a rule, Rashi quotes from the Gemara, needed that we assume that the woman would mature. The woman would mature, meaning to say that if she lived with another man before the age of 3 1/2, she would mature again, the Mesulim would come back, and therefore, it has to be that if she lived with another man, she lived with another man, it had to have been between the Erusin and the Suin, and that would make her usher on her husband. So the two answers remove. What do the two answers do? The two answers remove the double doubt. So you're left with one doubt, and you say something to Rashi Lachuma. Okay. We mentioned one rationale why snake steak is mutter. There are two others, let's just mention. The Rambam has a very unique opinion, which we don't hold like, but the Rambam writes, we're normally accustomed to suffik d'oraisa l'chumra, suffik d'rabbana l'kula. Let's say the first day of Sukkot. I don't remember, I'm so tired from building my sukkah, that on the first day of Sukkot, I'm so tired, I cannot remember at 2 o'clock in the afternoon whether I shook the lulav. Now, shaking the lulav the first day of Sukkot is d'oraisa. So we say, suffik d'oraisa l'chumra. Shake the lulav again. Not such a affair. It's not so difficult. Shake the lulav again. Fine. What about Hanukkah? I'm so tired to come home from work. Someone comes home from work. They don't even remember they came home on time. They're working so hard. And then 10:30 at night, they get up. They have to fall asleep on the couch. And they say, did I light the Hanukkah candles? What's the deal? So strictly speaking, Hanukkah candles is midrabanan. Snake in the rabanan lakula. Okay, if you want to, it's a good idea. But certainly you're not mechuyev to. We're always accustomed to that rule. The Rambam has a different opinion. The Rambam writes, Suffik d'oraisa, mi d'oraisa l'kula, mi d'rabbana l'kula. On a d'oraisa level, the Torah says you can be lenient. In the lulav case, you don't have to shake the lulav. The d'rabbana, they said, the d'rabbana said you have to be machmir. But in the case of two sveikis, a double doubt, the Rabbanan said you don't have to be machmir. That's the Rambam svara of why sveik is mutter. Because the whole din of something in your rice is only midi your rice shulakula. Really, midi your Rabbanan, you must be machmir. But in the case of two sveikis, the Rabbanan said not to be machmir. Where'd the Rambam get this from? The Shev Shemaitzah. The great Gaon of Ksosachosha wrote a sefer when he was 17 called the Shev Shemaitzah. He asks on the Rambam, the Gemara writes in Kedushin, on Ayin Dalet Beis, Lo Yavo Mamzer Bekal Hashem. A Mamzer is not allowed to marry a regular Jewish woman. A Mamzer is not allowed to marry a regular Jewish man. He can only marry another Mamzeris or a Gioris. The Gemara writes in Ayin Dalet Beis in Kedushin, Mamzer Vaday Asher Torah, Mamzer Sofek Mutim in a Torah. A Sofek Mamzer is Mutim in a Torah. That's the Shev Shemaita says is a special din regarding Mamzer. Mashmo implying that any other suffix out of Din D'oraisa, you should be what? You should be Machmir. So he asks on the Lala opinion, he has essays to try to answer this kasha. Unfortunately, the Shev Shemaita did not have the Rambam in the Chuvis. The Rambam in the Responsa, he didn't have it in Eastern Europe. They didn't have the manuscript. the Rama himself writes in the responsa that the source of his opinion that Suffolk D'Oraisa on a biblical level, on a D'Oraisa level, is Lakula, is from the Din of Mamzer. Meaning the Shef Shemaita says, you see from here, it's a special din, implying everywhere else, you have to be Machmir. The Rambam says, that's my Makor. That's where I got my opinion from. The Shemaita didn't have the Rambam in the Chumash. But whatever the case might be, that's the second approach why the Rambam writes that a snake snake is mutter. Because the whole din of something D'Oraisa, his sheet is different. Something D'Oraisa, I mean D'Oraisa L'Kulo, mean Rabban L'Kulo, and in the case of two snakes, he was what? The Rabban were not back. Fine. Then there's a third approach. The third approach is the Rav. So you have the Rashba and the Rambam, and you have the Rav. Okay. But really the Rav proved it, that it was the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Why is a snake snake a mutter? So a snake snake is mutter because there is no leidef hasafik. When a suffik is born, that suffik has to be resolved. And we have to deal with the suffik. When someone asks a shayla to a rav, there's a suffik. When he asks the shayla, there's a cloud of doubt, and the rav has to resolve that doubt by poskening. He has to resolve that doubt, by poskening. So if you come to a Rav and ask him a double doubt, there's no birth of doubt that is created. It's like, you know, you have one possibility that it's mutter, another possibility it's mutter. In other words, it's not really a shayla. Don't really ask the Rav. It's, in a sense, you're really being paranoid. It's really okay. Because it's a double doubt, and there's so many possibilities. Not because we Tom Rove, but the Rashba, it's statistics. But there's no birth of doubt that's created. Because it's like a double doubt. It's not a real shayla. Not a shayla, exactly. It's not a shayla. Where did the Rabbeinu Tam write this? In Beya. In the second Beya, on Gimel of the Beis, Rabbeinu Tam learned pshat in the Gemara in the following day. There is a principle called Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin Afilu Be'elef Lo Batal. What does that mean? That means that we normally have a principle of nullification, of bittul beruv, ratio of 60 to 1 by a chicken soup. Drop of soup falls in, we're mevatel the drop of soup. That's called bittul beruv. If, however, what did you say? You don't know where the drop of milk is, right? Yeah. We're talking about absolute. We're talking about a case you cannot find the drop of milk. Excellent, right? You're absolutely right. You don't know where the drop of milk is. You say bittul beruv. But let's say, so let's talk about the following case. Let's talk about you have a barrel of apples, right? And 999 apples. And an apple falls off a tree on Shabbos and falls in the barrel. You don't know where the barrel is. An apple that falls off a tree on Shabbos is muksa, all of Shabbos. Why don't you just say bittul beruv? What's the big deal? You have more than 60. You have 1,000 to 1. Yavish b'yavish, normally all you need is chad b'trei, 2 to 1. By liquids, you need 60 to 1. Here you have 999 to 1. Says the Gemara, because just wait till after Motzi Shabbos. Anything that you have a matirin, a filu be'elef, even in 1,000 lo batal. Dover sheyesh lo matirin, a filu be'elef lo batal. That's the klal. That's the rule of dover sheyesh lo matirin, a filu be'elef lo batal. Let me ask you, what will be the din if you have a sveik sveika in a case of dover sheyesh lo matirin? Like you mentioned, the egg case, which is the case in the Gemara. The egg itself that is laid on yontif by a chicken is going to be muksa. Let's say the egg that fell into the barrel of 999 eggs, you were in doubt when it was born. So what's going on here? Number one is the egg that fell in is one suffix, and number two is you don't know where the egg is. So can you say Sveik Sveika, it's mutter. But it's a case of what? Tavar Sheish Lamatirin. Wait till when? Wait till Motzei Shabbos. So it's a big machlokus between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. You know what Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is? That a sveik sveika, a double doubt, even in the context of Dovrish Yishtamatirin, is mutter. What's the svara? Let's plug it in. If you say this mechanics of sveik sveika is based on Rov, you can have 1,000 to 1 if it's Dovrish Yishtamatirin, a few balaf lo bapa. So if you go like the Rashba, then it won't help you. It'd still be usher. If you go like the Rambam, probably according to the Rambam would say it's a Dovrish Yishtamatirin. We don't have the right to be makel. But if you say like the Rav said, what is Sveik Sveika? There's no latest hasafek. There never is even a cloud of doubt that was created. So even in the context of Dovrish Yishtamatirin, the Rav wanted to say that it's going to be mutter. Because the Rav said that the mechanics of Sveik Sveik is that there's not even a birth of doubt. That's why Rabbeinu Tam says that a Sveik Sveik is mutter even in the context of Dovrish Yishtamatirin. That's Rabbeinu Tam's opinion. That's the three approaches what emerges why a Sveik Sveik is mutter, but the source in Shas of Sveik Sveik and mutter is from that testament of Eric Subas. So we have three different approaches why a Sveik Sveik is mutter. Okay. Now, the Re that argues at Rabbeinu Tam and says that a Sveik Sveik, Dovrish Yishtamatirin, in the case of Sveik Sveik, Usser, will hold like the Rashba, that the mechanics of Sveik Sveik is based on Rove, but Rove doesn't help you in the context of Dovrish Yishtamatirin. You look at Aleph, Lomach. Okay. Let's go back to Tosfos now. Now that we understand what Sveik Sveik is, let's go back to Tosfos and see the beginning of the Tosfos. And then we'll finish it up next week. Let's just see the beginning of the Tosfos. Shema Yelo Tanis Pchule Vim Taimar Tosfos Asak Tasha Vim Tomer's a code word for Akasha. David, you remember, right? David Baruch Hashem was a Talmud of mine many years. Very fine Talmud. Tremendous Talmud. So whenever we learn the Tosfos, we'll always say Vim Tomer, never translate literally, if you say. Vim Tomer is a code word for Akasha. Yeshlomar, you don't translate there is to say. Yeshlomar is a code word for a terrace. So he says, Shimai lo tana b'chule, bim tomar, ha tenach eishis kohen, ob chusum ibach shol oshonim, to leke el achat sveke, kira rinne be gemara le kaman daftes, aba b'shar noshim dike sveke sveke, amai pinas liyam revi. So he says, a very strong kasha. He says, the Mishnah lays down a takana, that a woman that's never been married before should get married on Wednesday. That takana is only applicable for two cases. A wife of a Kohen and a father that married off his daughter when she was less than 3 years and 1 day. But for all other women in the world, if the husband would come and complain, he's not believed anyway. The whole purpose of the takana is that the next morning you'll be able to wake up and go to Beis Din, but he's not going to relate by other women. So why is it the Mishnah presented like it's a takana, a blanket takana for all women in the world? That's Tosfos Kasha. Okay, let's read his teretz and then we'll say a dvar Torah Chumash. The Omer Rabbi Tam, the rope flew. Now I'm gonna open the box. So maybe by next week someone will figure it out. But I want you to think to yourselves, if you can, why it's the Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Because we have a Chiddush that we'll say next week, Benjamin. Happens to be what we said about Rabbeinu Tam and Beya. It's connected. Okay? But Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the low plug Rabbanon, the Takanosun, Mishum Asius Kohen, Chusum Mishlosho, Tiknu Bechol Nosho, Shiyinsu Yom Revi. Period. What's the place's answer? He invokes low plug. When the Chachamim make takanas, they do it in a public policy manner. They make blanket rules. Because if you have too many exceptions to the rule goes up in smoke. So they said, and I know Avi's already saying it's difficult. I see you're smiling. Rabbi Kiveger. He's Mechavit to Rabbi Kiveger. Okay. What do? We say that this Mishnah of a Basula getting married on Wednesday was based on two cases. wife of a Kohen, and the father marrying off his daughter is less than 3 in 1 day. And because of those two cases, we make a blanket rule for all women that have never been married before, that are besulus, that they must get married on Wednesday. It's a little bit, usually when you have a low flu, you have 70% of the cases, and you extend it to the 30% that it might not apply. Here, if the Kivega writes, you're making the cut of the whole Mishnah of getting married on Wednesday is based on two cases, and because of those two cases, you make a blanket statement that all suitors should get married on Wednesday. Very mechudish, very novel. That's where the Kivega already makes a comment. Okay, so we'll continue on this next week. There's your shift. Okay, just one word on the parsha, and that is that I once saw a very beautiful shot from the Chanukah HaTorah, who is the Rebbe of the Shach. And he writes that we all are familiar with Rashi, the beginning of the Parsha, where it says, Noach ish tzadik tamim haya bedorosu. Yesh dorshim l'shvach, yesh dorshim l'gnai. Maybe he would have been a tzadik in all generations, that's l'shvach. Maybe he would have been, if he was an Avraham generation, he wouldn't have been so kavaltik. And therefore it's not really a compliment, it's a critique and a criticism to Noach. The Chanukah HaTorah writes, these two opinions might be consistent with a pasuk a little bit later in the Parsha. It says, Soar Tasa Lateva. They made it Soar. Rashi quotes 2 days in the Medrash. What is it Soar? Either it was a chalon, a window, or either it was a pearl that illuminated light in the Teva, but there was no window. Says the Chanukah HaTorah that these two issues are l'shitasim. Because we have a concept that you're never supposed to look at the tzuris of another individual. If that person who wants to look is not such a gavaltik person. We find by the wife of Lot, she is told, don't turn around and look at the city because she wasn't such a gavaltik person. Neither was Lot. And they should not look at the destruction of the city of Sodom. Because they were only saved because of Avram Avinu. And therefore, since they didn't have their own schuyus, they didn't have the ability to look at the tzuris of others. Therefore, based on that, we can plug it in and say the following. If you define Sohar as being chalon, that's the opinion says Yesh Torshon Mishpach. Noach was a tzaddik in any generation. He had schuyos to look at the destruction of the whole world. And therefore, Tzohar is the window. If you, however, claim that Noach would not have been such a one, Gavaltik and Tzaddik, he had no ability to look at the tzuris of others. And therefore, you're forced to define Tzohar as not being what? As not being the notion of a window, but rather a pool that illuminates. And I think we learned a tremendous lesson from that, and that is that we should strive never to have any enemies, of course, but the Mishnah writes in Avos, Binfol o Yifchal Tismach, if in the event, God forbid, someone does have an enemy, and something bad happens to that person, you should not be happy. And that was the motto of who? Shmuel HaKatan. Shmuel HaKatan's motto was never be happy at the downfall of an enemy. And that is why Rav Alpert Zatzal once suggested that Shmuel HaKatan was given the job to be the author of the bracha of Olam Al Shinim. Olam Al Shinim is a bracha where we pray to Hashem that the Jewish people that are going ahead and informing on us to the government, to the non-Jewish government, they should be stopped. There was a concern that maybe if one of the Rabbanim would write it, one of the Tanoim would write it, maybe they had an ulterior motive in mind, that there was someone that they had a run-in with. Shmuel HaKatan was perfect regarding that neither. His motto was, even if you have an oyed, you can never be happy. So he was the one that had to be chosen to write Olam Al Shinim. And this is why Rav Alpert suggested, why every time Rav Hananya is mentioned in Shas, it says, Rav Hananya Ishkan Kohanim. Why every time does it have to mention him, does it say he's the assistant Kohen Gadol? Every time, you have to say the assistant Kohen Gadol, during his time, the office of the Kohen Gadol was very corrupt. People bought up the office. And for many years, he was overlooked from being appointed the Kohen Gadol. He remained the Skan. And that is why he is the author in all of us that says, you have to have fear for the government. That's what his motto, his statement was in office. If anyone would have a tie on the government, who should it be? Him. But he did not fall in that track. And he said, you must have cover for the government that you live in. So that's the theme, Shmuel HaKotam, Yochanan Iskon, that we have to realize that, God forbid, we shouldn't have oivim. If we do, we never are the Samech of the Tzuris of others. And that's why Yesh Dorshu Meshvach, Dorshu Meganai, is L'shitoso, and Hayi Defai Tzor. Everyone have a good Shabbos.